Die Samstagskracher bei Netto Markendiscount.
Los geht's!
Gutes Land, Butterkäse oder Tilsiter.
In Scheiben.
400 Gramm für
2 Euro?
Nee, für nur 1,59 Euro.
Dann geh doch zu Netto!
Don't try to run, don't try to hide.
What's up, fool podcast? What's up, fool podcast, man? With my co-host right here, Johnny Roque.
Yeah, yeah, man.
He's right here. And Lisa's here, too.
The bad hair day. Oh, my God.
Rodrigo is in Mexico getting married, getting fatter.
He's not getting married.
No, that was the secret. He's getting married, man. He just didn't want to invite no one.
He wanted to
do it secretly.
Wedding.
Do it cheap as hell. He's eating fat, bro.
Am I talking about dinner? You hear me?
This morning, he ate like a big bowl of pozole, dude. Like, I saw...
For it was breakfast.
Like, yeah, there was a big... There's a woman there in Mexico. She was making this big pot, but it was boiling, it was sizzling. It was all beef with hominy.
Oh.
And they had cilantros and homemade corn tortillas.
With the bone still in it?
And Zacatecas. Oh. And that fool got on one of those... Those things, what they call it, that goes...
Zipline.
What's up, fool? We have Lydia Popovich right here.
Hey, guys.
Normally, people will come in later, but she's going to just jump in whenever she can.
All right.
And then we're going to ask her questions about what was it like coming up as a comedian in the Bay Area.
Ooh, okay. At
the Punchline, bro, where they make you hang out for a year, bro, before they give you a set.
Real talk.
What kind of bullshit is that, dog?
Real talk.
Just shaking hands.
I remember, man, when somebody said you had to do that, I was like, no way, man. You better go to the comedy store, at least there. If you hang out for 6 months, somebody's going to go, hey, man, you want to go up?
Yeah, like throwing the belly room or something.
Yes. Something, dog.
I think that only works if you are a man, because I have been here for 2 years and no one has ever like tapped me on the shoulder at the comedy store and been like, hey, man, you've been around. You want to go up? That hasn't happened to me yet.
I'm like, Skylar Stone, what's up? There's a show over there.
Skylar books like people with a lot of TV credits on his shows. It's Skylar and Sam Tripoli. They book those comedy regulars at the comedy store and they book.
What do they charge to get it?
I don't know. I think it varies depending on the night.
Interesting.
What's your favorite room at the comedy store? Is it like the belly room or the main room or like the original room?
The back where everybody smokes weed, bro.
The new private bar they have. There.
Yeah,
that's
I like
the only part,
too.
Bro.
Yeah, the bar is good.
You could be there smoking a fat ass backwood, bro, from Louis XIII, and you walk, you see Bob Saget walk in after having a bad set, dog.
Oh, okay.
Well, not bad set, you know, but you know internally.
Yeah.
Because at that level, man, it doesn't look like he's bombing, but you know, some comedians just know deep down inside, man. When you go back to the old shit, bro, damn.
I always think that's nice, though, when you see someone that's been doing it forever and you have, like, you catch them in that one pensive moment where they are thinking about, shit, did I do good? I don't know. And then I'm like, okay, it's never going to go away. It's all right when you have those bad days.
You're always judging yourself off your best
constantly,
set.
Constantly.
Also like that the little VIP private bar they got now.
Yeah, the little video room bar. I like that place
a
lot.
Is it video room?
No, that's... So, down there, like around the corner, like through the kitchen on the left?
Yes. That's new.
Yeah.
Why do they call it video room? Oh, I don't know. It's screens.
It says video room on the door. I don't know why.
Oh, I never noticed that.
I don't know. I've never actually watched a video in there at all, but the closest to a video is just Jimmy Schubert doing like little magic tricks, which is kind of like watching TV.
Go watch us live on YouTube.com.
I don't have chat.
ATC. Right, so I know you got the right watching us right now on Instagram. We got like 88 subscribers right now. So
just people staring.
We'll leave this
phones.
On for now till we get the YouTube
you can
chat room
that.
Going.
Okay.
With your little fingers.
You do it on your phone. No.
No. No, not on there. I'll be me. No. It's okay.
Okay, we're back. No. I've been to that room once. What's his name? With George Perez.
The secret green room.
Okay, people, we're going to go sideways.
It's a cool little room, though, because it's just nice, because a lot of people don't know it's there, and they walk right past it, or they just assume they shouldn't be in there, and most people shouldn't. But it's a chill, quiet place when you are in the Comedy Store, and there's people everywhere. I do love going in there, and the bartenders in there are sweethearts, so you can go in there and get a little drink and hang out, put your feet up, enjoy yourself. It's good.
That's probably why they call it the video room? No, I'm not going to that.
Yeah, I don't know. There's lots of signs in the Comedy Store that don't say anything that they don't mean. You know what I mean? Just signs everywhere for sure.
I've been through places in the Comedy Store where when I used to party, but before they did before the changes started.
Yeah.
And I used to wander off, man, and and go up the hill, man. This because I read that book on. That's based on the show on Showtime.
Oh, I'm Dying Up Here.
I'm Dying Up Here. I read the book, and there's when they were on strike, Mitzi had little places where she could watch to see what comedians are on strike, so she could ban them. So there was like secret little passages or tunnels where she could look at them.
That place is like the Winchester Mystery House, though, for real. Like, there are so many doors that open into stairways that open into other places. Like, when you think you have seen everything that the Comedy Store has to offer, there is definitely a dark alley you have never walked down. Like,
that I don't basement? Know. I've never been to the basement.
No, I'm good.
I went down to the basement to do a podcast.
I heard that's what they're doing now.
They have, a studio down there now. That's what I heard, too. That's, like, their new hot shit is come sit in the basement.
Have you been to the belly room? But the next room next to the belly room?
The one behind the room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's stairs these would be stairs that'll take you down.
And around through. Yeah, those are clear again. Kitchen. Yeah, those are still down that come back around again now.
I think that little area was made for Mickey Cohen, the mobster.
Yeah.
So for celebrities or any high class people could slide in their side chicks without their wife knowing.
While your wife's in the room?
Yes.
Oh, see, that's crazy.
Those secret passages were
next level crazy.
It was like that's like the ultimate club, man, where the club is set up so just in case drama starts,
you have
exit stage left.
Yeah.
But I was a waiter at La Factory when somebody's wife came in and his side chick was upstairs, and she was ushered down the back stairs and then waited out in the alley. And then I started thinking, that's horrible that he was doing that, you know, and his wife, how disrespectful, whatever. And then I'm like, what's wrong with that girl? She's willing to wait out there in the alley. She's willing to be that
girl, man.
Olympics.
That's what you do. That's what you do. Hoeing is an art, man. Like, we don't appreciate hoes enough. Like
she's just standing out there going, waiting.
Hoeing is an art.
It is an art. Like, it's hoetry in motion. Like, there's so many, like, those girls.
Because you don't just wake up and say, I'm going to be a whore. You plan it out.
You got to make choices over and over and over. And those choices escalate higher and higher, and you get deeper into that whole life, and you can't get out.
It's like, oh, now he's wanting to have a baby with his
wife. So this chick, she was ushered out to the side?
She was ushered out to the back alleyway, and she waited.
Yeah. Like, I've been a psychic.
I guess she left eventually. He must have said goodbye to her because his wife stayed the rest of the night.
Well, you know, you got to give a bitch cab fare, you know what I mean? You got to make sure she gets home safe. Otherwise, she's going to call someone else. Because that's the thing, too, is that, like, side chicks are usually multiple side chicks.
She's a side chick to multiple guys.
Yeah. So you got to make sure that your hoe is attended to. Otherwise, she's going to call someone else, and then you're knocked down on that list.
No, being a side piece is like a marathon. You just got to stick around long enough.
What got you out of the side piece business? What wore you out, Johnny? Like, when were you like, this is it. I can't do this anymore.
Piece,
bro?
I was a side piece a few times.
A few times.
How did you find out?
Oh, I didn't. I went
in. You showed up on the wrong
day? I went in as a side piece.
Oh, you knew your place.
Yeah. I was like,
and you were happy with it?
Yeah, I was in high school and college.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't even count.
You weren't looking for a commitment?
No. I
didn't feel jealous at all?
Not at all. I was like, we're friends. We're friends, and you just so happen.
See, I don't think it counts. High school and college doesn't count. That's called living your life.
You got to be like 34, bro. Yeah. Doing it, dog.
One of you has to be married.
You're
going to
be doing that in your 40s, dog.
One of you has to be married, or you have to have been in a relationship that's like very, very, very long term. And some of those long term years have to be over 18. Like, you can't. I'm sorry, but anything.
That's a lot of rules.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a lot of side piece.
It's impossible to be like a man in his 50s to be somebody's side piece, man.
Oh, man.
Impossible.
She would be Drew Barrymore from my 50 dates.
I do like the idea, though, of like a 50-year-old man that's just like living that side piece.
That food would have to be healthy as fuck, dog.
Right?
I do. It's tiring.
Take his vitamins, a lot of ginger, a lot of ginseng, you know? Maybe he does yoga.
Writes poetry.
He'll show up going, man, I got 2 hours.
Let's try to make this happen once.
Yeah, I got 2 hours before they pick me up.
Man. That's like, I think that's the best piece, like part about being a side piece. You got time. You got time. Yeah. I want to do this longer, but.
I didn't know at one time I was a side piece, though.
You didn't know? I'm sorry.
I knew you were a side piece.
Before I met Lisa, I was living on Denby. And, I was seeing this woman for a while, you know. Whenever I never went to her house. I never actually went to her house ever. Like we would meet somewhere and then go to my house.
Oh, okay.
But I never noticed these things, right? And then one day I'm somewhere at a show, and her friend tells me, you know, she's married, right? And I said, no, I didn't know.
How'd you feel?
I didn't give a fuck. It's been going down for this long.
You're like, perfect. She's not going to ask me to marry her.
And then it continued. I said, I confronted her and I said, I found out you're married this whole time. That's pretty slick, eh? She started crying.
Oh, of course.
Man.
That's the best time to have sex, bro.
They're
really sorry, man.
All your senses are raw.
Yeah, man.
Feeling really regretful.
One time I got hurt. One time.
One time. Oh, look at Iron Man. Here, right? I got hurt every time, bro.
Ice face.
That's the best thing about love, bro. At the end, you get hurt hard. It's like heroin.
Oh, you go in and you're like, this is going to be good. Oh.
I'm fascinated by you, Jenny, because like you're a very serious person, but then there's like, you throw out these little gems of like, oh, I don't do that anymore. Like, oh, you know, like, I was a side piece. Like, there's this whole other secret life
Johnny
that I am.
Reformed.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. Like, I'm just like, damn, what were you like?
I rode a motorcycle. Out there.
He's a loner, Dottie.
It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
I was doing a show for American Insurance, and they were doing some other event, some other convention. They told me they ushered out a big-ass actor through the back, bro, because he was there with his side chick, and the wife showed up, or the wife friend was there.
Damn.
Like, big, bro, Oscar-winning actor.
And the wife still had dominance,
right?
Yeah, the fool winning Oscars for movies and cheating, bro.
When you involve third-party corporations yeah, man, you got to be careful because, like, as you get bigger and bigger, like, it's harder to cheat, right? Like, that's why you have to have, like, NDAs and you have to, like, buy an apartment for a lady or, like, a man.
Exactly.
You got to keep them sequestered because otherwise you're going to fuck up your whole marriage, man. Like, think about it. Handle it like you would your money. Like, you don't just, like, write checks all willy-nilly. You have a financial planner. You make these plans. If you're going to cheat, do some preparation.
That's a lot of
There was a guy that at least there was a guy that somebody wants to do that, man. Like buy houses,
just for cheating.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. That's how people get like double wives and like they get
whole separate families.
Yeah, whole separate families.
That's some wild shit too. Can you imagine having like a whole other family, like a secret family? I have actually multiple friends that like found out later in life that their dads had whole other families.
Wow, you want to be an airline pilot, huh?
Like, well, military. A lot of military dads. Okay.
I got my Montana family.
Salesmen's, consultants, and stuff like that. But that takes a lot. Talk about long lifetime preparation.
Pablo Escobar did it the best in like that show Narcos. Remember when he had his side piece, it was like the news lady? And then she started talking trash about his wife, and he was like, don't you disrespect my wife. I was like, oh, that's nice.
That's the first one. That's your wife. That's your mother and your children.
Did you see the Narcos 2 or Narcos 3, the one where they're doing the Cali cartel?
Oh, I think that's season three.
That guy has two wives and they're okay with it.
Jeez.
Like he'll be with one wife on Monday and Tuesday and the other one on Wednesday and Thursday. And then he'll go out and do it on Friday. And then Sunday he's with both of them at church and they're doing activities.
Now, let me ask you this. You guys are both men, obviously. You're both men that enjoy ladies. You're a married man. You have been a side piece before. Yes. I don't know what your stable looks like now. I'm assuming that it's been spared down.
By a little pony.
Tied down.
But, like, that seems like a lot of work. Like, I understand, like, the variety of ladies, but, like, what's the appeal there? Like, would you really want to, like, would you want to have two wives? And I don't know if that's a trap question, but, like, that just seems crazy to me.
I would.
That seems like a lot of work.
Not two wives. That's too much. That's too much commitment.
But, like, a wife and a side piece, like, that's better. But, like, two committed wives, I feel like, is a lot.
I feel like it's a lot of work to keep stories straight.
Would you like two men?
Yeah. To keep, no. No. One is enough. Yeah. One is more than enough.
Yeah.
One woman is more than enough.
I got shit to do.
Yeah. I've juggled men before, and it is confusing and frustrating.
You juggled men before?
I have, and it's not all that it's cracked up to be.
Like, are you serious with one and not the other, or serious with both?
It was more than two.
Man.
See, Felipe gets serious with everybody. That's a problem.
There you go.
I wasn't serious with, I wasn't serious with any of them. That was the whole point.
Show the beer in your hand.
Yeah, I'm through my beer.
I gotta calm down. That bottle empty. Get hit with it.
Man. No, I wasn't serious with any of them. That's why it worked, because it was like three of them, and I was trying to figure out. I was just in a mode of like, let me just date some people and have non-committed.
But then you're just dating, though.
Yeah,
that's not. And then really, it started, like, juggling a relationship. And
yeah,
then,
but it's still that was too much for that. Yeah. And I was like, I don't even like these guys, and I can't even keep this stuff together. I'm just like trying to figure out if I liked any of them good enough to like keep.
Yeah. Well,
and I didn't. I
only had one date, a movie in my house after.
This is smooth.
Movie and then fast food, maybe.
Yeah.
Original Netflix and chill.
And then back at my house.
That's so funny.
He is the original Netflix and chill.
But sometimes, other times, there was no Netflix. There was no movie, bro. It was just like, I'm here, eh?
Drive to Redbox and buy one.
I'm here, eh? No, we had a lot of Blockbuster nights.
Blockbuster nights. Well, it was a good time, bro.
We go there and browse for like an hour.
Man, I used to take it old school, Lydia. When I used to go on the road, man. I remember I was on the road, and the person I was with rented a fucking DVD player, bro, or a VCR from Blockbuster, because the condo didn't have one.
Well, yeah, I've done that before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We did it, right?
Yeah, we did it.
Oh my god, man!
That's pretty crazy.
Lisa and I did it.
I can't remember where it was.
We rented the whole DVD player and a game console.
Yeah,
I think so.
Wow.
I forgot they did that, man. Holy shit.
That seems like 100 years ago.
Yeah. Can you imagine them doing that now?
Oh, people lose their mind.
There's no way.
Like, you think about it. No, people, we used to walk around this video store just looking at videos the way we wander around on Netflix for hours, too.
Yes. Yes. I had, like, the video store memorized.
Yeah.
Completely memorized.
And then Lisa and I would go to the video store that was more hipsterish.
2020 video. No, the other one in Silver Lake, huh?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
And that fool had a lot of independent movies, and they had like this, what is that, Criterion movies?
Criterion Collection.
Yeah. Oh, yes, all the arty movies.
Yeah.
The important things you're supposed to see, but that just put you to sleep.
And those fools knew. And those fools knew every movie, bro. Every single movie. If you didn't have it, they'll get it for you, right?
Yeah. Go up to, what's that movie with that guy? He comes out on that one TV show, and then he's like kidnaps that one woman, and then the guy will go,
Man.
What time I said, I'm looking for a movie, man, with a guy. I think it's Christopher Walken, and fuck. and that guy who came on in American Me, who played JD, Robert Forsythe, and I don't know. There's a thing they keep saying in the movie. Oh, Andy Garcia's in it. Yeah. And they say, hey, man, you're going to get buckwheat. It's going to shoot you in the ass. Oh, yeah, bro. That's a thing to do in Denver when you're dead.
That's
starting
awesome.
Christopher Lloyd. That movie came out in 2000 during 9/11. So it pretty much disappeared, bro. Pretty good movie.
Yeah, they used to give their opinions, right?
Yeah.
The guy, that was the only review you
would
have.
And they had their list, like Paul's list.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I remember making fun of kids because they'd have to rent their console, and I owned one.
Were you one of those little kids, bro, that if your mom took you anywhere, you had your little favorite movie with you all the time?
Nah. I had a little TV with me all the time.
That's crazy.
My son, man, he had to carry Toy Story with him all the time. So if we showed up to somebody's house, I don't know why we would do that, but I would say, is there any way they could play that movie right now for him?
It's going to make everybody happier. Let's just put
that trust me, if you don't put that movie in, the motherfuckers ask everybody in his house.
Well, now it's like kids have like iPhones or like, you know,
disappear, right?
iPads. That's all they do. Like when we had the shows, like I went to go eat some food at the little like Vietnamese place, and this family walked in and they had two kids that were like both of them under three, like just running all over the place, and they just sat them down and they gave them their phones, and then it was just quiet. It was just silent, and their kids were just like shoving noodles under their mouths, and, like listening to like cartoons and watching cartoons. And I was like, "Oh, that's not good." And then I was like, "But I'm enjoying this quiet in my meal and not hearing you scream bloody murder at the top of your lungs as you run around this restaurant." So I guess it's good to a point.
Man. I worked construction for a summer with my dad. I broke concrete and like cleaned up the site, and I bought a little TV with it. It was like the best for me. Such a couch potato.
When I first went to my first studio, I had the little Watchman. That was my TV.
Damn. You have to hold it close to
appreciate close.
You won't remember this, but you guys will. Do you guys remember like in the bus stations that they used to have the TVs old. That you could put the quarters in?
Oh, yeah.
To watch TV? In the
back in the days. You that was a Greyhound bus.
You sit there and then watch.
It was black and white.
Yeah.
It was bright as fuck.
Yep. It's like and a blood pressure machine.
Exactly.
Like a self-contained seat.
A Greyhound bus. But when I was a little boy, they had a television. You put quarters in and you watch movies.
And it would be like 15 minutes for like a quarter. Yeah. And then it would just be like regular TV and it would come on.
Why did they get rid of that shit?
I think because people just started like ripping them off of the arms and like
maybe
the same reason we don't have fucking
we can't have nice things
phones. We can't have nice things. Yeah.
Did that TV come with headphones? Or everybody had was loud.
It was all loud. Yeah, there was no headphones. I think there was headphones jacks, but who was carrying headphones at that point?
No,
nobody.
Yeah.
And it was the big ones, like studio headphones, like this. Yeah. Like the 1970s ones. But no, I remember that. I remember being a little kid and like being like in the station.
That
and, like,
was cool. You remember that?
I remember being I'd get really pumped that like I could watch TV, like my own TV.
Yeah. That's badass.
In the bus station a lot as a kid.
Exactly. I was actually.
What's up, fool? We have Lydia Popovich right here, ladies and gentlemen, from the Bay Area, right?
Yeah, originally.
Born and raised?
San Jose, California, born and raised.
San Jose.
Yeah.
Upcoming shows, Miami, May 31st. That's at Magic City Casino. I'm headlining the Ultimate Miami Comedian Competition. And closing it out with an hour-long set. Schaumburg, Illinois, June 15th through the 17th at the Schaumburg Improv outside of Chicago. El Paso, Texas, June 22nd at the Plaza Theater. San Antonio, Texas, June 23rd at the Tobin Center. Orlando, Florida, June 28th through July 1st at Orlando Improv. Check out all FelipeWorld.com/tour because I'm adding new dates all the time. You have dates coming up, Lydia Popovich?
Yeah, I'm going to be in San Francisco at the Punchline, actually, June 6th through June 9th.
You're headlining?
No, I'm featuring for Jenny Zagrino. So me and her will be together. And then tomorrow at the Hollywood Improv is Woman Crush Wednesdays.
Every Wednesday,
is dope. So I will be hosting tomorrow's night show, which will be awesome.
And it's usually hosted by Marcella, by the way. So you guys should go support that.
Yeah.
What's your Instagram?
Hater Tuesday.
No, Hater Tuesday, right?
Yep, that's my Instagram and my Twitter account, actually.
And your Twitter.
Yeah.
What's up, fool? I'm going to Orlando, bro. I'm going to meet Lisa's redneck family.
We're having a redneck family reunion down there.
It's been the first time, bro. I never had a brother-in-law.
This is the second time.
Let's see if we like this, like this family better than my family.
This will be the second time I've met all these other family members.
My first time I met these people, bro.
I met him at my dad's funeral last year.
Damn. So she's not that far ahead of you, so.
You might see him. Are you going to Orlando?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll see.
I can't remember because that's not
for a long ass time.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna meet her brother. Is the brother bringing his wife and kids?
Yeah, wife and three daughters. And I don't know if David's coming. My other brother. So
did he go to the funeral?
Uncle? No, he didn't go.
Have you ever had trouble with brothers like that girl's dated? Like they try to punk you or anything?
What do you mean?
Like, you date a girl, and then he just tries to, like, assert his dominance in the area.
He doesn't meet families of girls
man.
With.
Smart.
Very you smart. Haven't met, you, right? Like, you haven't met the families of most of the girls you've been with, right?
Man, only one time, man, this girl, I went to her house, then her dad came down in his underwear, bro. He didn't know what the hell's going on. No, but I'm trying to remember whose parents
I
met.
Really go maybe Carrie or
no
Marisol?
No.
No, I don't know.
Most of the women that I've dated, bro, they didn't have parents, bro.
Okay.
They didn't have fathers.
They didn't have fathers, so like they're more like you don't even my fucking mom, man.
Yeah,
I am.
I met up, but Lisa met my parents.
Yeah, I met both your parents, and all your brothers and sisters except. Angel, I only met one.
I think every girl I met made my parent, but I'm not sure.
Oh, man. Is that, was
it's
that
all
weird?
About you. Huh?
Was that weird, meeting parents?
No. It's not formal like in the movies, like I'm all nervous or anything. I just came over and they were having tacos.
Yeah. I guess people do, some people do that where they make it like a real formal thing.
No, I don't know.
That just seems very antiquated to me. It like, is. You just kind of run into them when it happens.
Especially at our age.
You deal with it or you don't. Yeah, exactly. Like, this is this person. I don't know what's happening, but they're here right now. You know, take a look.
My mom's never met him. Like, she didn't go to the wedding, nothing.
Wow.
She doesn't travel, though. She's in Ohio, and she's feeble, pretty much. So she doesn't go anywhere.
That makes a difference.
I'm trying to remember who I met.
Oh, man. I think I met, like, one, like, my high school girlfriend. That was the first scary one. And it, like, because he was, like...
They jumped you into it.
No, it was just scary. I was like, tell her, blah, blah.
Is this the first time?
Yeah, it was the first time, man. She was like, what if he doesn't like you? And I was like, it's okay, I'm with you, not him.
Were you guys already having sex or no?
Not yet.
Okay. Because sometimes I feel like that makes it more nervous. Like, if you know you've already had sex, then you have to, like, look her dad in the eye and be like, no.
Oh, like, oh yeah, I met my son's mom.
Oh, yeah, like, you met her. Yeah.
I met her dad and everybody, bro. They all lived in the house.
They liked you.
They were all right. They were cool. The dad was like... He was tripping out because they didn't have a car.
Oh, that's
he was telling me that his best friend is his dog, his $20 in his pocket and stuff like that. But he don't understand me. You know, I come from a different generation. You know, I don't want to work cutting carpet my whole life.
Just having those blisters.
Yeah, you don't understand, you know, man, that this is a new generation, man. You don't need cars and jobs and be responsible to attract women these days.
It's pretty easy. You just kind of have to have a pulse, I think. Like, it's kind of it.
Like think about it, man. These guys, that generation before me, they come from a generation where you got to fucking look clean all the time.
Yeah. You got to be bona fide.
You got to have a tank top under all the time with a white t-shirt over, then your dress shirt. Then you put on your boxers, white socks.
And a
dress shoes.
What are you, Mormon?
To go out and tennis shoes to hang out.
And you crease your pants.
All the time.
MC poncho.
And you get a haircut every week. You're fucking, you always smell like Old Spice, karate, English leather.
English leather, not old English.
But you always smell clean.
Something soapy. Yeah, something soapy with a piney tinge.
We went from, you know, to be like me, you know.
Yeah.
Long hair, and then the next generation was just wearing no pants. And having that rainbow hair, bro. The next generation after that, bro, after rainbow hair, it's going to be just straight up, you know, we're going to be nude.
Yeah, or he'd be like, he doesn't have tattoos on his face. There's no way he's responsible.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't know what he's doing with his life. His place is clean. What is he doing? He doesn't even have a beard. He hasn't even grown anything this week.
Like, if you were to tell somebody, like, in 19, when I was a little kid, when I went, like, he was hardcore when I was out. Public Enemy.
Okay.
You know, but to come out with a whole painted face is new. But no, you I never thought of somebody like that. Kiss, but a rap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about rap?
Public Enemy? Oh, man.
No, what's the name was painted too? The Clown Posse. Was there a joke?
Oh, yeah. Clown Posse.
They still are
Tech
painted.
Nine. Tech Nine.
Tech Nine.
Tech Nine's been painting his face like his whole career.
Tech Nine, badass.
Like his whole career. But he's done a pretty amazing job of like sustaining his career and like
very
on
underground,
his terms.
Huh?
Yeah, super. Yeah. But he has a huge following. That dude sells records. Like he really, really, really does, and he does it all himself, which is amazing. Which is pretty good to be that long and to have like a generation that just perpetuates the next generation of people that are going to listen to you. I respect that a great deal.
He talks like I know this one guy who was from the suburbs, like a chubby white dude, 23, and he was like, you know who's my favorite artist? Tech Nine. He really speaks to me. And I was like, really?
He speaks to. I mean, he doesn't necessarily speak to me personally. Yeah. That music is not for me, but I appreciate and respect everything that he does, and the fact that it speaks to a bunch of people. People like to be inspired.
See, when I was growing up, man, if you told somebody that Ozzy speaks to you, they'll lock you up, bro. Yeah, bro, the way Randy Rose speaks to me, bro. He says, get in a car, drunk, and drive into a tree. For real, man. Like, somebody, they labeled it devil music.
Oh, yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, my parents were, like, super Christian. Everything was devil music, man.
Well, it's kind of funny when you think of some of the stuff, like, even, like, stuff like Def Leppard, mm-hmm. which was, like, is pretty soft if you look at it now. But even then, they were, like, that was in, like, the section of music that was, like, devil music. Oh, Def Leppard. You're like, no, that guy has one hand. He's not going to hurt anybody.
Twisted Sisters.
Yeah, all that stuff just
because
it was
painted.
Yep.
Yeah. And they still got the girls, Twins and Sisters.
Heck yes.
What's up, Fool Podcast? Lydia, would you start off doing stand-up comedy?
In San Francisco, actually.
You waited a whole year, like we were talking?
I did. Sorry. I did wait a whole year.
We don't know what we're talking about earlier. No, I found out one time when I was, I headlined the Punchline in San Francisco once. Just one time. And somebody told me that you have to wait because I wanted to use my own feature and opener, and I fought and I fought and I fought and I got it, right?
Yeah.
So that pissed off a lot of people back then. And but I found out later on was that the reason they put their own people there is because they got fools waiting a whole year, bro, to get booked.
And some people even wait longer than that. Like, I had done comedy probably for 2 years, just, like, open micing and stuff. And I would go there every once in a while. And then I was starting to finally feel like, okay, I'm ready to, like, really try to make a show of, like, let me see if I can get in at the Punchline. Mm-hmm. And that's how it works. Like, you go every Sunday. There's a Sunday showcase. And that's for local comics. And you go and you hang out. And it's probably roughly 9 months. And around the 9 month mark, then you should like introduce yourself to the booker and be like, "Hey,
what?
I've been here for 9 months." And they're watching and they kind of keep track and see, and like their whole attitude, I guess, the way that they describe it to us is that they want to make sure that you're serious about doing it, because a lot of people come and then they go up once and then they come back and then they just think that they're going to get up every single time that they come. Mm-hmm. So it's their way of pruning out sort of the hobbyist from the people who are serious. They say
a lot of hobbyists out there.
But there is, like, honestly, in San Francisco, like, the scene there is crazy. Like, I left 2 years ago, and the entire scene now, like, I don't know who any of these people are. I'm like, I don't know, which I guess is cool that there's not many people starting
comedy.
They're
all from Florida.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, people move, and they just show up, and they're like, oh, like, San Francisco has become this, like, stop on, like, the comedy evolution circuit.
Do you think it's very hard right now for a person to start doing comedy, and it's, well, I would say 24, 25, and really have no money and live there?
I think it's impossible. I think it's straight up impossible.
There's no way that I'm a struggling comedian living in San Francisco anymore, huh?
You're going to be living with like 9,000 other people in like a rundown shack.
This
like,
in the days of Robin Williams, bro, and Larry Bubbles Brown.
It's gone.
Like, gone, right?
It's totally
there's no more
gone.
Like five comedians living in one apartment.
There's actually, there is one place that I know, and it's this group of dudes. They were actually on Vice for when they did that Flophouse thing. But it's these boys called Sylvan, and they live in this huge house that is in the Richmond District. And it's basically two apartments on top of each other, and they live in filth. Like, it is disgusting. And there's like seven of them. I mean, there's people living in closets. There's people living in living rooms. Like, every single room has been converted. But that's how they make it happen. But it's also gross. Like, I don't know how they have sex with girls and bring women home, but they do. But that's the only place I know that is like that. Everywhere else is just like so expensive.
I don't know if it's a documentary, but they saw a room like this, and they'll put like bunk beds, like 1, 2, 3, and they'll set it up in here like a prison module.
Yeah,
and cubicle, this is your cubicle. There's no door. I guess there's respect or there's a lock, but you're living like in a prison, you know. Mm-hmm.
Tiny little walls. There's houses I've heard of that here in LA of comics that live in places that are like bedrooms that are split by curtains.
There was a place
and stuff like a summer camp.
Yeah,
that's me.
But you have doors, right?
I have a door. I have a door to my room.
I'm talking about a curtain. Like
my roommate has a curtain.
See?
Yeah.
Wait. How do you have a door?
The other room, they don't have a door.
No. I don't know. I always think about that because, like, I started comedy later in life, so I never went through the, like, struggling to feed myself thing.
Yeah.
I was, like, had my life kind of together and then was like, all right, let me do comedy now. But in San Francisco, is not a good place to be a young person right now and struggling with anything because it's just egregiously expensive.
I'm going to stop telling people to go there. I'm going to tell them, you know what, bro? Start in Houston. It's happening.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Straight up. Honestly, I think that's good advice.
Like, there's like around 4 legit comedy clubs and at least 10 rooms and at least 80 one-nighters that pop out every month.
And it's diverse there, too.
There's so much work.
And you could keep working in
Texas. Yeah. Texas is huge.
Yeah.
You could develop a tight 30 and then test it out here in LA for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one thing I will say about San Francisco. It's like when I was there and everyone that I know that came out of San Francisco – we all got a lot of time. Like, once you get through the gauntlet, like, once you start proving yourself as funny, like, that year thing kind of diminishes a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I got my audition as a host and hosted for like less than a year before I moved into feature. And it was a quick jump for me. And that's because I just was like consistently funny. And I was able to leave there with like a good chunk of time because there was so much time and there was so many different rooms. But San Francisco audiences are also different. I think going somewhere like Houston is very, very smart because you have a much more diverse audiences there. San Francisco is a bunch of what I like to call like people with NPR-itis.
Yeah.
Who are just like very conservative, but they're liberal, so they're conservative because they just don't know what to laugh at anymore and they want permission to laugh at something. It can be a little disturbing. Like, they're just not as free as they once were. It's depressing. No,
liberals have gone, and I am a former liberal. I am a current independent. I left the Democratic Party last year. But I can see that liberals these days are the biggest form of censorship. Yeah. I mean, they're the biggest group calling for censorship all over.
Questions constantly about everything. And it makes it hard to be a comic to be like, can we just have fun for 12 minutes here without you questioning like my moral standards? Like, that's why we're all saying here, is to have fun.
You need to do better. You need to go further. It's like,
How about we just have fun? That's what comedy's about. Let's have fun.
Comedy had no message to Latino people.
I know. They want a message. They want,
I'm not a messenger, bro. I am not the guy to look out for hope.
Yeah, like, why can't you just be the funny guy? What happened to that guy?
Right?
Just want to make him laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, have a good time.
I know, but you never question. Nobody would, imagine if comedians were questioned back in the days, like Bob Hope. Don't you care about the Jews?
Right?
If people died in World War II, you're over there telling jokes. MacArthur.
Somebody tried to sit down Don Rickles and talk to him about, you know, all of the words he was using. The judging of people. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't have happened, you know. Not to say that everything that he said was great either, but at the same time, it's like, put it in the context. Art is art. Comedy is an escape.
You know, the comedian from that show, he posted a photo of his two daughters. They wanted with graduating high school and going to college. One of them is going to graduate high school in a year and a half or two years. He said, "These are my daughters." He goes, "Man, they know everything and they protest everything. They're social warriors right here. They're so little, but they're already offended by everything."
It's like, see, people don't give a chance for others to get offended first.
Yeah, get offended on their behalf.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot of getting offended on others' behalf.
And that's a little insulting.
Yeah, like, give me a chance. I'd like to be offended. Like,
I have a voice.
Like, why are you guys offended by that joke? There's nobody here with wheelchairs.
I am offended on behalf of the three Latinos sitting at this
table. There's not even a handicap area here. You should be offended by that.
I think that term is offensive to Latinos.
Yeah.
But you guys are laughing at it or chill it or, you know, don't care. You know?
My maid, Hortensia, would not like that term. When I go tell her in the morning while she's breastfeeding my daughter.
I'll be sure to express her anger as she expresses milk into my daughter. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, she'd be so lucky.
What kind of drama do you think you dealt with in San Francisco?
You know what? There's always drama in all comedy scenes.
But you started like, you didn't start young, so you didn't get to see it much.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I saw drama, but I just wasn't a party to much of it because I wasn't. Exactly. I just didn't have the time to hang out. Yeah, that was, and honestly, the drama
Johnny
that I got
Steel.
Was because of that. People were like, oh, she's stuck up. Oh, she thinks she's too good. Oh, blah, blah, blah. She's unapproachable. Oh, she's cold. I had a comedian that kept on just like trying to be overly, like, aggressively friendly, like really trying to push the friendship thing. And I'm not a big person who likes to have anything forced. Like, we're either going to click or we're not. Yeah. And that's cool. And that doesn't mean that I don't respect you and then I want you to do your work. But, like, just because we're both comedians doesn't mean we need to be, like, holding hands and fucking text messaging every day and shit. Like, I don't know. And so this person basically pushed me into a corner and then just started sort of talking shit about me a little bit to other comics. Like, you know, I don't know.
I asked you, you want to be comedy buddies?
No, Felipe, I told you I don't fucking want to write with you anymore. Keep your tags to yourself. All right?
That's the worst.
Shit. But yeah, so I had to, like, and I'm not the kind of person that, like, if I hear you're saying some shit, I'm going to say some shit.
Yeah.
So I had to be like, listen, I just don't like you as a person. I just don't like you.
That's
care.
The hardest to it have to turn down. Down a friend
and a woman,
like, it's not like turning down a dude or who wants,
it was just frustrating.
It's harder to turn down a friend.
It must be harder on a woman because if you're a dude, you just like, oh, that fool, and then we'll go outside.
Yeah. And it was it was just wild, and it was just I just was very bothered by it because my whole thing was like I just want to write my jokes. I want to do my time. I want to do my jokes. And I want to leave. I'm not here for this. I'm here for that. But there's all kinds. Of course, there's always people, you know, oh, you stole this from me. Oh, you didn't write with me. Or, oh, you didn't do this with me. Like, drama in comedy is universal. The same issues always show up everywhere. It's ridiculous.
I know, like, sometimes, like there's people who, like, just, like, I started off just doing coffee house.
Mm-hmm.
But at the coffee house, I met Latino comedians there. And those Latino comedians turned me on to other Latino rooms.
Right.
That were just mainly Latino rooms, but I didn't think they were really called Latino rooms. Just happened to be there's so many fucking Latinos there. they have to be in a fucking black Angus restaurant on Tuesday. Right. When the first thing they told me, yeah, man, come down. There's gonna be a comedy show on Black Angus in the fucking Alhambra. And I said, oh, wait a minute, bro. Isn't it a restaurant? Yeah, but they're going to fucking kick everybody out and do comedy, bro.
Yeah, how'd you get used to that, performing in weird places like that?
It was tough, man. I would go fucking first.
Yeah, you take the bullet.
I was bombing hard. I didn't think I was bombing.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing to do.
I would be on stage, and there's like two comics sitting over there trying to pick up with two girls, and then mm-hmm. there's like a table of five, and everybody's standing. I would say there was less than 50 people, bro.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You can hear the silverware.
Clinking against each other.
Hell yeah, man. And I'll be up there going, well, the DJ's here already. Late.
That was the one thing in San Francisco that we didn't have is the scene in San Francisco.
Bunch of rooms?
No, there's a bunch of rooms, but it's not divided by race. It's just like...
Oh, people.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, there's not a black room and a Latino room and a white room. The only real difference is people who are like... sort of super alt-y comedy that are basically like doing more improv or weird sketch shit than mm-hmm. they are doing straight up stand up, and that was kind of the divide. So that
they're
was
bombing.
Yes. Exactly, pretty much. And then like wondering like, how come they're laughing at you? And because you didn't do anything. You just meowed for 12 minutes. Yeah. Okay, and nobody gives a shit.
I remember Sinbad walked into an alt room and I think it was on, I don't know if it was Gotham, but Durango Raffalo was there closing it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was gonna go up, but there was a bunch of people before her. He happened to be in there. He was telling me that story, bro. We're standing in the airport. I was standing with him, with Chris Spencer.
Mm.
And he introduced me like this. It's Felipe, man. He's funny. All right. I don't know. Well, you say he's funny. I never seen him. And I laughed. I said, fair enough. And then he started telling that story. He goes, hey, Simba, you going to go up? He goes, nah, man. I haven't seen nobody else funny in here.
I want to be the only one. No, I don't want everybody to know that I went up here.
He goes, nah, man. I haven't seen nobody funny in here. But when I started, like, I would go to, like, well, I was going to this place called the Natural Fudge. And it was a bunch of different comedians, man. Homeless comedians. Weird comedians, duo comedians, comedians dressed in weird outfits, rock and roll comedians, bro, or just dumb weirdos, bro. And also Alonzo Bowden, Freddie
weirdos
Soto,
and Alonzo Bowden.
Brian Holtzman, older dudes like that, Jamie Kennedy.
The homeless comics used to scare me all the time. I get nervous.
It's like they let anybody... perform there and spend $5.
Yeah.
Which is kind of great. We had a place that was like that in San Francisco called The Brainwash, which was a cafe and a laundromat. So one house was a laundromat.
I want to open those.
It was a good idea. Like it was open till 10. You could wash clothes in the back, and then the front was a cafe and a little coffee shop, and then they had an open mic there. So it was like pretty much open mics like it was Wednesday and Thursday, and everybody would come, including the homeless people, mm-hmm. the crazy crackheads. Like there was just this, that was a place where everyone went, and you'd go up and you'd do two times, but you didn't have to even buy anything. You just had to be there and sign up. And then you would get your time because they would start at 6 and end at like midnight. So you'd sit there forever and ever and ever and ever and wait. But then, yeah, you'd get to see crazy people do crazy stuff. But then people would show up. Like Robin Williams came one time and just came into the open mic there. And you'd be like, oh, okay, maybe this is worthwhile. And then everyone who had like left San Francisco would come back and do that room too. But that was a cool room, but it doesn't exist anymore.
That was like the Laugh Factory open mic.
It's the same thing?
It used to be. Now there's so many fewer, but oh.
So I would do that at the Natural Fudge, And like I was like the only Latino comedian for a while there to a Freddy Soto.
Yeah.
But and then I would go to this place called Waldo's Comedy Station. It was like
That's a good name.
At the Hollywood Hotel on Highland.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
they had comedy there every Saturday.
They still do comedy there.
So I got to know the lady there, and then she liked me because I would always kill with my 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, I want you to host. We're going to pay you. How much? $60.
Ooh.
Then I met Carlos Oscar there because I remember they paid him $100. And then, it's kind of the headliner. And then I met Jamie Foxx there one time. Like, he was there with another comedian, but he was not performing. He was just hanging out.
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck, yeah, all right. But, and then from there, the reason I went to a Latino room because I met Latinos who told me if you go over there, they'll give you money. So.
Nice.
So, okay.
It's a siren song for
me. And they always paid, man. They always paid. And I got to hang around with, like, comedians that at the time were already established as, and like, Willie Barcena and Rudy Moreno, Luke Torres, Gilbert Esquivel, Larry Omaha, Dante Garza was another guy.
Who's that?
I know, he passed away. Vic Dunlop.
Wow.
And they were like the 80s Latino comedians mixed with the 90s comedians, you know? So I got to, they hooked me up with a lot of spots. And then, and one day the Natural Fudge, the white lady that owned the coffee house told me that they were doing, Latino night at the comedy, at the Laugh Factory. But I didn't get in there. I didn't know anybody. It wasn't until I met Johnny Sanchez and he gave me the phone number and I called the Laugh Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And I started going there on Latino night.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse, the theme nights. You know? Right? I think back then, they needed like a foot in the door. Different groups of, different ethnicities who weren't getting booked. It came out of a need, and Paul Rodriguez was pushing for it at the Laugh Factory. As a way to bring up these younger Latino comics. But I think now they need to go away. That's my opinion because for one, those guys get the nights that are the undesirable nights at the club.
Monday,
Tuesday, Wednesday, right. That's the black and Latino night. Chocolate Sundays at the Laugh Factory. I mean, they're good because they bring in, like, this core audience and there's this camaraderie and whatever they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
But it's also negative because you try to go to the Laugh Factory to get a Friday spot and you can't get a Friday spot because they see you as the guy who fits into Latino night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you're black, so you fit into the Urban Night or Chocolate Sunday Night or Tripping on Tuesdays or whatever. Mo' Better Mondays.
Yep.
I mean,
or Stepping on Toes Wednesday.
So, it was helpful in the past, but I think it's worn out. It's need, it's necessity, and now I think all rooms should just be.
Also, there's not enough funny ones.
They're mixed anyway. I mean, a lot of those bookers running those rooms will book other people.
A lot of the Latino comedians nowadays, they like staying in the East Side.
That's true, too.
Like, when I was doing stand-up comedy, I would say 2006, before Last Comic Standing, I have paid gigs lined up all week without ever touching Hollywood.
Damn.
Like, it's easy to get over there, though.
I had Latino night, and I went there. I was making, 20, 35 bucks for the whole night. Then I would take off. Then I would run to the – I would go to another room. I would get $50 there. And then on Tuesday, I would go to Casa Latina. They'll give me $75. The IRS is listening.
Then on Wednesday,
I get $75. Then on Thursday, $100. Then Saturday, another $75. Friday, pretty much no gigs on Friday. There were nothing. It was hard to get Latinos to go to a comedy show on Fridays.
Yeah.
So there was nothing, bro. Unless it was out of town in Fresno.
Yeah.
I remember Joe Diaz, that's right, cocksucker. He canceled a gig on New Year's Eve, man, for Fresno with a hotel. It was $300. He told me I got to give him I didn't have to give him, but I gave him $100. But I kept the $200, and I was happy, man. And I drove over there, New Year's Eve show, headline. I ate. I gambled.
Man.
I was sober.
It's perfect.
I was sober, bro.
Yeah.
And I still had fun. It's hard to remember times when I was sober now, but I guess I did have times when I didn't smoke weed or didn't drink, and I was still happy.
It's a good
time. Possible.
I still consider you sober, even though you have the occasional weed,
Yeah, me too. I started off Chuckle Monkey. Did you have Chuckle
Monkey? That's my woman right there.
I do, though. I mean, I don't see that as, you know, something that.
But I'm more focused, Rasa.
Yeah, you've mm-hmm. done a complete 180 since I met you.
Well, just like. Lisa used to work on the Chocolate Sunday at the Laugh Factory.
We were talking about that.
And we're talking about drama. And let me tell you, man, she saw drama firsthand.
Oh yeah.
With these black comedians.
I can imagine.
Once Kevin Hart shows up, it's over.
Like everybody gets bumped, and well, the whole social scene is happening.
They hate bumping more than Latino comedians. Let me tell you.
Oh yeah, they sit in there and they just stew.
Start talking shit.
Stew and fume or whatever. But there's, you know. Corey Holcomb's gotten in fights about jokes. Scruncho's been in fights.
Scruncho's punched fools, dog.
He's punched people on stage. You know, like there's drama in all these groups, mm-hmm. and you know, and like we're talking about a lot of white comics, they're a little more silent about it.
Yeah,
right.
But they all,
you never hear about white comedians having drama because they're moving silent.
Yeah, they'll sabotage your agent.
White comedian will sabotage another white comedian in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like he'll call up the communist. Oh yeah, man, who's on the lineup? Okay, scratch him, please.
Yeah, I'm not going to come if that guy's going on that show.
Yeah, that passive aggressive.
Sorry, man, but if Dane Cook is there, you can't have Chris D'Elia there.
Yeah,
two alike.
Damn.
To a like, you know what I mean? If Eric Spears is there, you can't have Dean Edwards or whatever.
Yeah, you can. You're just giving examples, bro.
Now, remember one time Johnny Statue didn't want to go up on a Latino after a Latino.
He didn't want to be right next to the other Latino. In the lineup.
Because the whole lineup was white.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Me, I don't care, man.
Just go up and do your time and be funny.
Yeah.
Just go and have a good time. You know,
like people. There's a lot of beef in the Latino community, especially I would say only LA in Hollywood, here in the area. It's because we still think that there's only room for one.
That's the root of all
where all the problems come. You know, once Latino comedians and black comedians stop thinking that way, that there's room for everybody. But you know what? It's gonna take time. Mm-hmm. It's gonna happen overnight. It's like when we had Carlos Oscar. It's going to take time, bro.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen. But you know what? There's progress because they turned down 10 Latino pilots last year.
Uh-huh.
Well, the last one was 10.
Five. But all of them.
I was in the room here. There were followers behind me.
I was just giving
them
five.
Lydia was tearing up.
I was over here.
Yes, but five. Five, and there are none on the TV.
Man... It must be even harder, like, just say when there's a comedy show and there's only one woman. And then, like, most comedy shows, bro, if you're fucking good, I don't give a fuck if you go to any lineup right now. If you look it up, there's going to be one woman, maybe two, mm-hmm. and that's it. So that makes it even harder, man, for women to be fighting each other. You got moving in silence, too?
You know what?
I think there's more support.
There's a lot more support in the female community. Yeah. It's pretty cool, actually, like, because for the most part, people have realized that we're not doing each other any favors by pushing each other apart, and that the more consistently funny we are and the more consistent that we show up and that we're all there and everyone goes to your time and shows up and is great, it's undeniable. And it's also, there's a lot of women that are coming together to create channels to do stuff. Who cares what everybody else is doing? And I kind of feel that same way about, like, all of the individual races. Like, yes, there's only a certain amount of spots, but are you waiting for someone to give you a spot?
Right.
Or are you going to create momentum and become
un-ignorable?
You've got to
create everything in this business. You can't be waiting for somebody to give you something. Somebody might hand you something, but don't wait on it.
You can't be fighting in fucking the Village Inn over a joke, man.
Exactly. It doesn't make any damn sense. You know what you should do? Stop yelling about it. Go home and write five new jokes.
I know.
And write five jokes that are so personal
to you,
nobody can steal them.
Fighting with a comedian with a DVD in your hand and hitting it with it.
Stupid. It just does. It's a waste of time. It's a super big waste of time. But I don't know. For me, I think I wish that there was more women on bills, but I don't mind being the only woman on the bill sometimes because
it's cool.
I'm funny as shit and it works out.
Yeah.
And then I'm Latino too, so I scoop up a lot of work because I'm like, they're like, mm-hmm. two for one. She's a Latino and she's a lady. Get her in here. here. So it's been beneficial to me since I've been in town. I haven't suffered as much as some other people have. Right now, the women we need to be sorry is the white women. The white women are having a hard time getting gigs right now. So
you've got a good network of people like you and Marcella, and like that group of women that you guys have kind of formed in LA is stronger, I think, than any group of women who've been there before, because maybe the guys can operate as individuals and not need another guy there, like as a mentor or buddy or whatever, you know, your lone wolf out there. But a lot of women, you can't move like that, you know. And you hear stories from Felicia from back in the 80s and that sort of thing, and that whole scene, and like people following her home. And like,
you got to have that one female comedian tell you, man. They're hiring one female every week. Oh, you better call them.
You got to have that network of people. And, you know, Marcella, like, she's starting to help, you know, with women with their submissions, like things that you submit and like mistakes not to make. Like, she's doing it out of the goodness of her heart. Like, she wants these women to get better.
She wants to do like a workshop, right?
Yeah. And like, you know, those are the sort of things that you guys need to be doing. And that's awesome to see it happening, you know.
Just like our moderator, I mean, there's a bunch of different boards on Facebook that like women are always interacting with and like asking each other questions, asking for support. And like, oh, do you know how to write a treatment? Oh, have you ever done, how do I record voiceovers? How do I do this? So there's always all this constant sharing, which I think is super cool.
I belong to LOCA, which is the Ladies of Comedy Association. We're LOCA. But it's all behind the scenes women.
Yep.
No talent are allowed in the group. So it's all agents, managers, bookers, publicists, all those sorts of things. So they're really helpful. And we pass comics names around here and there.
Yeah, you should.
So, cool.
No, you got to ask your friends, man. You got to always like lean on your friends. Marcella has been huge help to me since I've got here. Mm-hmm. Honestly, she has really made it better.
No, it's not. There's no chat. It's disabled.
That shit is whack. That's what everybody's talking about.
I know. Technical difficulties. Listen, sometimes...
What's up, boo? What's up, bro? Here looking like taxi driver, dog.
He's trying to look decent.
You look
Yeah, man. I think that's always been a problem with Latino comedians, you know? Because I remember when I first started comedy, I would speak to, like, older comedians that were doing it forever, like Vic Dunlap, Larry Omaha, and they would tell me that, no, bro. They only gave, like, he would tell me that it was first Desi Arnaz, of course.
Yeah.
Then many, many years came back, and then they had Chico the Man. And then another 20 years came back, and then they had Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. Pablo. Then another 20 years came along, and they had George Lopez. Mm-hmm. Then another 20, Cristela.
Yeah.
Then another 10, 2 years after that got canceled, they canceled Five Pilots. So we have made progress, bro. And plus, there's more television now.
Yes.
And you know what? You don't need a network to have your own show. No. You have a camera. You can put it on YouTube. Be consistent. Build an audience.
Yep.
And
exactly.
Don't forget a lot of these things that are on, you know, as web series or, like, look at Issa Rae's show, Insecure on HBO. That started as a web series. It started as a blog before that. And it blew into this show. And now she's creating things, and she's building other shows and movies and things for other actors and writers. So it can happen as long as it's good.
You want to say something, Hulk?
Oh, it's a process. You got to like turn on the camera and do it. Like me and Nick, we did a web series and we had to just like do it. We didn't write it out or anything. We're just like, we get first episode down and then we get the rest done. And we got like 12 episodes out of it.
Have you done any acting?
You know what? I haven't. I haven't done a lot of acting. I'm a little intimidated, but I'm not going to lie. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's intimidating. I don't know why. It's something I need to get over, which is weird because, like, I'm not intimidated or scared on stage at all with, like, a billion faces looking at me, but then one camera by myself is intimidating. So it's something I'm trying to, like, work myself into.
I'm an acting coach. Deborah Lemon.
Mm.
Lemon Studios.
Yeah.
Right there on Silver Lake. I've been going there for a year.
You've been going there longer, but consistently for about a year.
And do you feel like it was like before you started seeing her, like, were you comfortable like acting or did you feel like
I fucking sucked?
Right? I just become hyper aware. I feel like I become hyper aware of everything my face is doing as soon as a camera's pointing on me, and then I start overcorrecting and I'm like, why am I face doing?
Oh,
like,
once I get on the set, I'm good. Just the audition part is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, once he's there.
Once I'm on the set, man, shit, I got the cameraman telling me where to stand privately. They're my friends, man. They want to make you look good. Plus, they want their piece they shot to air. Yeah.
Mm. Right. They want to have like what they're creating
Yeah.
go in the right direction. No, I think it's just something I have to get more comfortable. I need to like start wrapping my
you
head
around.
You could
look into like it's called an Alexander. And Alexander is usually, Alexander I think, for more Berg. stage actors. But in Alexander technique is like to look at your body and to be aware of where your body is positioned, where how your face is positioned mm-hmm. as you're performing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you don't have that off the rails sort of.
Immediately. Like, as soon as I see
like what am I doing with my eye there?
Yeah. Like, you know I can barely talk into like my stories, but then I realize I'm like, oh, I'm staring at myself. I'm not looking at the camera.
Right, right.
And then I start talking. I'm like a 2-year-old child.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Like, I think it's an Alexander who could help with something like that. Like, knowing like, where your body is, how it's positioned, and how you're standing, just being aware of all that.
But like, I mean, I act and wild out. You know what I mean? Like, we're all comics. It's like, of course, so if I'm like in like something with somebody, I can like improvise and like figure some stuff out, and I can remember stuff. It's just a matter of like, how do
I did acting in like high school and college. That helped. Acting in high school and college, just
you
simple
were plays
techniques.
Or what?
Yeah, I was in Greece.
Why were you in Greece?
Did you play Rizzo?
No, yeah. now he lives with Rizzo.
I played the nerdy guy. That's all.
The nerdy guy. Who's that?
Don't remember.
Just like a side character.
The guy that was jogging was John Travolta.
Lorenzo Lamas threw in a trash can. That guy.
Oh,
sounds made
okay.
Up.
Yeah. No, I remember. No. Yeah.
Sounds more like grasa.
Grasa.
What's up, fool? So, man, we had a great week at the Irvine Improv. All three of us performed.
Yeah,
we did. It was fucking fun,
dude. 6 shows. That was dope.
Even almost 7. The other one was like
George
like
Perez, Tony Rob, Martin Moreno, Huda Moreno. Martin Rizzo, that's it, huh? Lydia Popovich, Johnny Rocket, mm-hmm. and myself.
You said George? Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of drug fools, huh? Some of the shows.
Dude, they ran out of beers.
They ran out of
that
beer
was,
on
shut
Saturday.
Up. I didn't
that
know
happened
that.
On Sunday, yeah.
Sunday they were out when they started the shift.
Yeah.
They hadn't replaced it. They were out of Blue Moon. They were out of Corona. They were out of Modelo. They were
that
out of
Saturday night late crowd mm-hmm. was shit faced.
Shit, yeah.
But in a good way, though. Like I'm not mad if people are drunk and having a good time and they're not like wilding out. You know what I mean?
I didn't know they ran out of beer. How'd that work? They
didn't run out of beer completely. They ran out of the good beers.
Yeah, yeah. People are
they had Bud and Bud Light and stuff, and you know all that.
So it turned into Laugh Factory.
Yeah, Laugh Factory served Bud and Bud Light for years, man. That's it. Oh, so sad.
That's Amstel Light.
This is Amstel Light. It's not really good, but I was
that
telling.
Too.
I was saying I haven't. I haven't had this.
I was
in
watching
college.
That. I was, wait a minute. That's I think I drank 9 of those and got loaded one time.
You have to have like
Newcastle
9 to
15. Is the one I got fucked up on.
Ugh. Wow. Newcastle's
the
gross.
Brown ale. That one, remember, I loved that beer when I was in high school.
Had a little
that
boat,
was
right?
My favorite. Yeah, yeah, little red or the little blue star on it. Yeah. No, that was my favorite. Actually, for my high school graduation, I got a keg of that beer and bought it and put it in my backyard and like hit it. I don't even think it hit. I think I convinced my mom that it was going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like where I just was like, it's going to be fine. Like no one's going to drive.
I could have told my mom back then that we could have beer because she really thought that they still had the three-two law or whatever. It was like you get near beer. Remember near beer?
Uh-huh.
In the day before I was a kid.
Oh, duels.
My mom's generation. You could get like 3% or up to 5% or something like that alcohol
without being
21. Like, so if you were 18, I think. And my mom thought that she was like, "Well, can't you just get near beer?" And I was like, "What is that?"
You're like, "Yeah, it's near beer.
near the bar."
She really thought I could. And she didn't care if I drank. I just didn't really want to at that time. But
what's up, fool, man? So 6 sold out shows. We had the rabbits in the hotel room. They were pissed off the whole week.
Man.
They were mad.
One of them tried to take a shower.
Oh, my God. That's in front of a toilet, dog.
He fell in the toilet. That?
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
It had only a little water, but it was
that's
a square.
Jumped
he
toilet.
Jumped thinking he could get
the
on
same
there.
Same one?
Yeah.
Get into the shower?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's risky.
I like this bunny. I like this bunny's got moxie.
But
I, like
I, came in the, I came into the bathroom and he was like,
is that the rescue one?
Yeah.
They're both rescues, but this is the new
one.
Newest,
no fear.
We might get a third one.
Oh, not
just
what?
Honestly,
I'm
the
a single
idea,
bunny mom.
Like picturing a bunny trapped in a toilet, like that's going to stick with me for a minute. That's a very, very funny visual.
It was so
funny.
You can see a little nail scratching.
Yeah, oh yeah, he was sliding. He couldn't get out. He was just like, and then I got him out and wrapped him in a towel. Of course, he didn't like that either. I'm trying to dry off his feet. Yeah. They don't like being wet. Like, they'll have a heart attack if they get wet,
gosh.
Some of them. Yeah. But he wasn't.
I'm learning
if
so
was,
much.
If I was Slippers who got wet, she would have had a heart attack.
She will. The rabbit only had wet Uggs.
Yeah. When I learned that rabbits can't throw up, I didn't know that either. Oh. That was a fascinating fact that I learned this weekend about rabbits. No idea.
There'll be a test next week.
What's so fool right now, man? A lot of drama went down this weekend, huh, bro?
Yeah, man. It was insane.
Did you get a text or you got ready? How'd you find out?
I found out through Facebook Messenger. Then I called him.
Saw it on Facebook, too. I think around the same time. Yeah.
How all big news is disseminated these days,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Didn't get on Facebook. It didn't happen.
And it said what? What was it? A post from?
It was a post from Nick Guerra.
Yeah?
And it was like, Willie Barcena just punched me.
What?
Yeah.
Willie Barcena? Nah, bro. It was my face, bro. You know, once I let it go, it just goes, dog.
A mind of its own.
Oh, man, but he's been crazy. Known for that.
Well,
right?
Nick posted. We don't know the details. No. We weren't there. It's
allegedly
at this point.
Allegedly.
But he did file a police report. Someone,
where they happened at a restaurant, at the club, or were they performing together?
Is that a restaurant? Is that a restaurant? The inn, the Red Wolf Inn, I think.
No, but it's in El Paso.
Village.
Yeah. The village inn. Oh my God, that place. That place Menudo, bro. That's the only village in
Cavia
Inn. Yeah, it has good ass Menudo, bro. And let me tell you, man, I never eat in there, but Willie will brag about it. Willie Barcena, he'll say, nah, bro. Right there, bro. They don't fuck around, bro. They give you fucking Menudo with pozole with toast.
Texas toast?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that Texas toast. See, that's
I don't eat menudo with tortillas, or I don't eat tortillas at all. But some food like toast, bro. Fuck that shit.
Nah, I do.
So what happened, bro? Is the ride? Did the police show up? Did they stop the fight?
Police showed up super late. They didn't stop the fight. What happened was...
It was just one punch, right? Or did he do more?
It was a two and a neck hold and a choke hold, kind of. Because what happened was, like, he was accused of stealing a joke. Nick was accused of stealing a joke, and
again.
He didn't accept it. Yeah, he was just like, no, I didn't. And then he didn't accept the DVD. And then they're both...
What DVD?
What DVD?
All right, this happened a few months ago. This happened
a few months ago. Look at it! Watch it! He should have rented the DVD player. He should have had it, like, fucking... Like
hold on,
like we were just talking about from Blockbuster.
Hold on. Who here has Amazon?
Yeah. Somebody get their car. Someone's got a DVD
player. Somebody subscribe to Netflix right now as I speak.
Wait, so he had a DVD that he wanted him to watch to see the joke?
Yeah, because I guess he doesn't know how to use video editors or something to, like, put side-by-side videos. So it's just like...
Look at 19 and 53 seconds.
You do the homework and get back to me. And I'm gonna come find you in a random town. And then we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, and this was at the Ice House.
Well,
that was a while ago, huh?
Yeah. At a random show. He wasn't even booked on the show. He saw Nick was booked on the show. And
he showed up.
I guess. And he asked the dude for a spot, and he got a spot. But he was like, hey, here's my DVD. Show it. Look at it. And Nick was like, no, Willie, I didn't do it. You know, I didn't steal. And
they play the DVD or just show him the DVD?
No, it was just handing him. He was handing him
just
the DVD.
Just reference material.
Yeah, expecting
just like
him
exhibit,
to go home
exhibit
and watch
A.
It.
It had a post-it on it.
Yeah, post it with time codes, literally.
Hey, what happened, though?
So, like, he didn't accept the accusation. It was just like, nah, get away from me, and walked away. So months later, they meet at the Village Inn. And
in El Paso.
This weekend.
They didn't meet.
He showed up.
He shows up at the Village Inn.
With reference material.
Yeah, Willie shows up. No.
The reference material was last time. This is a test. Today's the test.
Gotcha.
He had a script.
This time he brought the audience.
Did you review
I was there
the footage?
This time he brought the audience that was at the show, right?
He brought that one witness from the show. He brought his feature.
Where was Willie at that he showed up here? Was he doing a show?
Was he performing in there?
Yeah.
Was he doing a show in El Paso too?
Well, he was doing a run in, I think, Corpus Christi, and then he passed through to go to Vegas.
That's not an easy pass through.
Exactly.
From what? Yeah.
Intentional.
That's good menudo. Some good menudo.
I'll tell you that. No, but
that
menudo is good enough, bro, to make a 70 mile fucking detour, bro.
Detour, yeah.
That's
Manulo. So when he gets there, Willie walks up to the guy featuring for Nick and doesn't pay any mind to Nick and just says, hey, you're
a
good
name?
Comic. I don't remember the guy's name. I just know
that. Hey, bro, you're big, dog. Hold on.
Yeah, I just heard a lot about you. You're a good comic. I really like you. And
you have an integrity, something I don't have.
Oh, man. And, like, it, like, he intentionally doesn't, like, pay any attention to Nick. So Nick knows Willie's opener, and he does that same thing. He just walks up to him, hey, you're a good comic, blah, blah.
But was he mocking?
Yeah,
he was mocking. Okay, so he can't be 4'11", bro, mocking a guy.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, man, you can't
That's
be.
That's an interesting detail.
I didn't know about that detail, man. You can't be mocking me, bro, either, bro.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to be cool.
But it was one of those things that he did. Like, he didn't pay attention to him, so he was like, "Fine, you're not gonna pay attention to me. I'm gonna make you pay attention to me." And then, like, he got over him. Like, he went back to sit down at his booth. And then Willie went over and was just like, are you mocking me? And then Nick was like, yeah, I am mocking you. And then that's when he got hit twice. And
all right, then they should have just not even mocked him.
I wouldn't have provoked the bear.
Knowing that the guy is violent, you shouldn't have provoked him, man.
There have been stories.
There's a sign. That's come. I don't mess with him.
Yeah.
That's like, anytime, like, people always, like... comics that I knew that were hanging around with him, I was like, nah.
I'm not saying he was in the right at all, but... Right.
But no.
I wouldn't provoke the bear.
Those are the kind of words you say if you've been at least 10 fights at that height.
Yeah.
Right. Right. You're scrapping. You're looking forward to something.
Like, if you're fighting people...
Ready for anything.
Yeah, man. You just can be a badass with a suit, bro, and provoke somebody at that. But still, especially with Willie Barcena, so Willie hit him?
Yeah, Willie hit him twice, and he tried to, like, choke him.
Damn.
And then the manager pulled him off, and, like, the features pulled him off, and then he took off. Like, they just took off.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly this happened.
But with witnesses.
And then allegedly...
Those fools took off, like, Thelma and Louise?
Yeah.
And then Brad Pitt out there just stoking up the wheel ready.
Wow, you know what, man? I feel bad more for the guy that opened it for Willie, bro.
Yeah, he's got to be shell shocked.
That fool's paying dues, bro. He's all scared like Randy Quaid.
Already.
He's probably all scared like Randy Quaid and Kingpin.
In his bedroom, like this, the hotel room.
Sharing the same room with Willie. And he has to reignite the whole fight with him.
Just in his head.
Yo, he's got to give props. Yeah, you right? got down.
Yeah, you did good
you
job.
Got down, yeah, man.
Sure. Hey, bro.
Yeah, he was wrong. He's got to give props that way.
I got to give you props, bro, for holding me back. Props.
Yep.
You got a good grip.
Wow.
Saving face.
I wasn't even thinking that happened that way. I just made it up that there was a little mocking there.
Well, I thought like it would have been like an indirect mocking.
Yeah.
But like since when I found it was direct, I was like, oh, that's dope.
Oh.
All right.
Right. I mean, you got to give him props for standing up, but at the same time, it's not something I would do in that situation.
Yeah, man.
It's
a smart choice.
I'd walk away.
Yeah. Kudos for having balls, but you know what, man?
Balls sometimes get you knocked out.
But you know what? You took the punch like a soldier.
Yeah, it was one of those. You know it's going to because...
The first one's always the hardest.
It's either that or he shows up everywhere and just punks you every time.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true. No, you're right.
And you're just like, this is going to hurt.
Yeah.
And then it hurts.
Yeah.
I go... But damn.
If anybody wants to see Willie Barcena, he's at the LA Comedy Club in Las Vegas.
All week.
So go check him out.
Check anybody out that DVD. I hear it's fire. Chokes on fire. Punch work.
A lot of punch lines.
Don't tell them to your friends, though.
Yeah. Do not repeat those jokes.
Unless you want it hand delivered.
Yeah. Another copy. Here's another copy.
It's funny when like other comedians that were the people that were commenting were like they're not comedians, huh?
That's the thing, though. There are some comedians on there, of course, but there are a lot of fans. And when fans see that stuff, they don't know what's going on.
The context, yeah.
Remember when you and Jeff, you and the devil got, you know. What the fuck, dog?
Say my fucking name, dog.
Remember when you and the devil, when you punked him after Last Comic Standing and kicked him off the stage and grabbed the mic and all that stuff. That whole thing happened in front of fans who were in the middle of watching a comedy show, and he walks in and comes on the stage and whatever, upsets it all. We all and the comics all were like, woo! like, what? The fans were just like, what's going on? Like, they had no clue.
Yeah, they were so...
They felt like, let's get back to the comedy show. Who are these people fighting? Why are they fighting? Like, what's going on?
Martin Rizzo scared. Martin Rizzo scared.
Martin Rizzo just nervous.
But, you know, the fans, when you do that, when you have fans who are just people who saw you on TV, they don't know what's going on. And they don't want to be part of it. And they don't want to see it either. You know, like...
And me and Rizzo talked about that for weeks.
Yeah.
We were just like, did you see? Remember when he jumped on the stool? I was like, holy shit.
Who jumped on the stool?
Damon Joe.
When he jumped on the stool?
I think so, something.
No, he like, got on the stage. He took the mic.
At the Sunset
and then,
Room?
Yeah, and then they kicked Jeff. Jeff was like talking shit, and then he left. Yeah. And then they kicked him out and didn't let him back in.
Oh, man. I remember
he went to go beat up his wife.
All right, cut that out of the audio. What time are we at? So I remember.
What's up, fool? You have shows coming up, man. Here in
yeah, town? next month I'm gonna be at the Sandman. No, Pechanga. I'm gonna be in Pechanga.
Pechanga,
and then at the end of the month, at the last week, I'm gonna be at Hard Rock Cafe, Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas.
And with, I think you're gonna be with him at El Paso and San Antonio, probably, right?
What's up, fool?
Yeah? I'm not sure.
I'll be at the airport in a little while.
Yeah, you guys are going to Miami tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember you guys were saying that tonight.
What's your Instagram again?
Hater Tuesday.
Why is it Hater Tuesday? I always wondered.
So
you to remember.
The short and the long of it is this. I used to be a very negative person. I'm still pretty negative, but it used to be a little bit out of control. And my friends told me that they didn't think that I could make a New Year's resolution to not say negative shit like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, I can. What are you talking about? I lasted about 2 months and was just ready to explode. So what I started doing as a joke is I was like, man, just give me like one day a week. I just need like even people who are on diets have a cheat day. Like I need a cheat day. Tuesday is going to be my cheat day.
Hilarious.
So what I would do is the whole week when we were hanging out, like, you know, when you talk shit to your friends, you say stuff. They just said I made too much fun of them. Like they couldn't take it. So I would just start taking notes of all of the little petty shit that happened that I would have said in real life. And I took notes about it.
You saved and it and did a roast every Tuesday.
Well, I sent them emails and I was like, last Thursday we were at dinner. You said this. Blah, 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 comment. So I basically would just send them the notes of like all of my hating notes, and it became Hater Tuesday, and it ended up turning into a live journal, and then that live journal turned into a blog, and then I had a website. That's actually what kicked off comedy is. It was just me hating on my friends and then hating on all of the things that I saw around me, and then I just stuck with it because I like Hater Tuesday, but I don't update the website anymore because now I do stand up and it's just too much work. So that's where it comes from.
What's up, fool podcast?
Why do we always get that from you?
What?
That.
Get what?
No, silence and a raised eyebrow.
He's thinking.
I was thinking.
He's thinking about things.
I was thinking why Johnny Rockets showed up wearing all of Rizzo's clothes this weekend.
Because I don't got nothing that fits me anymore.
He's losing weight.
Did you show him when you were wearing his jacket?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
Was that Martin's jacket?
Bro, Alfred Robles. I saw Alfred Robles, a little clip. He did your podcast yesterday, right?
Yeah, he did.
That fool is two-faced, bro. When he posted on Instagram, you know, when he was gay, bro, he looked like all right. But damn, bro, that podcast, bro, he like he's back at 300 pounds, bro.
Dude.
That neck, dog. He looked like Dick Butkus, bro. That neck was a fucking guest spot, bro. That neck sells merch, bro. On the side. That fool looked like a salamander, bro.
Oh, my
like
God.
A mole.
Salamander.
Like something, a mole that comes out of the ground, bro.
Dude.
Like a hairless.
Jabba the Hutt sort of no neck thing.
Man. Like he's I getting didn't see huge, him. Bro. He looked like a little baby brown deodorant, bro.
He lost some weight a few years ago and gave me some clothes. He's asking for the back now.
Fuck. You want the 42s back, dog.
You always got a stash up here in the back of the closet. Gotta know.
He's happy, bro. He's the last comic standing on the Gabriel Iglesias tour.
Oh, man.
Martin is gone. He always left. G. Riley, we don't know, but he's gone.
The other guys.
Haven't even seen him on Instagram.
He's busy. He's living the OC now. I never get to see him.
OC. Who?
Alfred. Alfred moved out of his mom's
LA?
House.
East L.A.?
And OC, huh?
OC now.
Just stay over there.
He's doing good.
Over there, talking shit about the burrito, how they ain't that good.
Man, back home in East L.A.
My mom used to make it.
Using white rice for burritos out there.
Hey, sometimes that's
he lives with somebody now or what?
No, just him and his cat. Just him and his cat.
Who took care of the cat when he's gone? He's always gone.
Dude, cats take care of themselves.
No, not for 5 days. No.
They're not magic. I mean, they are, but they're, you know, they can't, like, open up bags of food at the little
pods. I'd say 2 to 3 days with a self-feeder, self-water. Yeah. But they need the attention, though, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he just got it for the Instagram post.
He has a Manx. He has a Manx, I think, like a real furry, like a pretty cat.
If you have a fancy cat, then that cat definitely has attention issues.
Yeah.
For sure needs help. Need someone to hang out.
I thought Martín was hiding a raccoon under his chin.
It's his grandpa. Martín's
beard out of there, man. It's just,
you gotta have a gray beard when you're grandpa.
It was pretty impressive.
Martín's face always looked like he, whatever you're saying, he don't believe you, huh? Like,
that's him trying to catch his glasses.
What's up with the fucking sound guy, bro, at the Urban Improv, bro? Yeah. I don't like when sound guy too professional, bro. Like, especially, like, bro, we're not the fucking Taj Mahal. President Donald Trump is not speaking. I'm out here throwing out saliva like a Gallagher show. You know what I mean? I don't need you to write down notes or to show up with a fucking $25 moleskin, write down everybody's names. Like, who's going to look at this fucking moleskin later on? Oh, look. He wrote down fucking Johnny Rocha's name.
It's a sound journal, man. Maybe, you know?
Fuck a sound journal.
There was a lot of notes and a lot of questions. I've never interacted that much with a sound guy before. I appreciated his attention to detail, but it was a lot of interaction.
For real.
Much more. I've been lucky to have a guy just be like, the light's at 2. Wow, man. You know? Like,
this will go up
a lot of questions.
Go up on stage and adjust the mic when the audience is there, but you couldn't do that when there's no one there.
Yeah. I know. No, when it's you got on there, purpose.
Like, nobody needs to see your ass.
There's a whole show.
You can tell that, like, he's...
Right, sounds right here. No, yeah.
He's definitely
like this sound there, bro. Nobody sees him.
He didn't say shit to us. He was just like, "All right, whatever. Do you want to chat or not? Make up your minds."
But this will make it a whole more like he makes it a whole
it's a production.
Yeah. It's a production. Like, he's part of the entertainment, too.
He takes away the fun. He comes in.
Are
all
you ready?
Johnny Rocha.
He had a very rock voice. That part was much for me. Yeah.
He looked like Dean Del Rey. If Dean Del Rey didn't do comedy, bro.
He was Dean Del Rey's like brother.
20 years ago, Dean Del Rey.
He was not a Hellraiser, though. Or Del Razor.
No.
He was a Del Razor.
He had a mustachio, didn't he?
No, that was the waiter.
I think they both. He had a mustache, a little one. It wasn't as big. It wasn't as elaborate as the waiter. The waiter had
a beard, too.
Yeah.
He had a mustache beard thing.
This guy had face tattoos. Face tattoos.
He did have a mustache. I'm like visualizing
and
his
a
face.
Little, he had a little, I think he had a little mustachio. Little wax. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
He came in like he was a sheriff.
Like he has suspenders. And a
sound town.
You know what I don't like either, too? When a sound guy, I saw the photographer, and he's showing you all the photos he took there at that concert. Or shows you all, oh my God. I met a sound guy, dude. I don't know what show we were, but he was like standing next to me when I was going check. And he had a keychain with every fucking backstage pass he ever worked. And he had to show me.
Of course. Of course.
Chicago. Night Train.
Boy, these bands suck.
Renegade.
Suck.
Bon Jovi, Iron Maiden, bro.
Partly suck.
Half of Oats.
That was good.
What's up, Food Podcast? All right, everybody. We're going to go now, and we're going to thank our guest, Lydia Popovich, our co-host with no most...
Without the most,
Johnny Rocha right here.
Yay, Johnny.
Virgin.
Yeah. He's a reclaimed version. Yeah, virgin, right?
He's put down that whole life.
I've known
the size 6. Lisa, we're here drunk. Can't drive us back to the airport.
It's light.
What's
beer.
Up, food? Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Felipe.
Thank you.
Am Wochenende wird's heiß. Bei Reno gibt's alle Schuhe super günstig. 20% auf alles. Nur dieses Wochenende bei Reno. 20% auf alles. Da, 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 da. Reno, die behalte ich gleich an.